hours of pure, unfiltered stream of consciousness.
That's the Walt Deptula way for the most informative afternoon drive in the upstate. Tune into Road Rage, live on The Roar. From 3 to 7 p.m., The Roar, where every day is game day.
Walt Deptula Road Rage. You can always count on the Road Rage listeners to provide the answers. All of our listeners know exactly what these escort services cost, what the range is, where exactly to go, who to call, where they're legal, where they're not legal. It's absolutely astonishing. One of the most amazing things I ever saw on this program, Morgan, was when the Aaron Andrews peephole camera thing came up, and I said on air, I said, what is a peephole camera? We had 100 listeners who knew exactly what peephole cameras were, where to get them, how they worked, and all of that. So, yeah, so I am not at all surprised by this. I do think there are some people who are not responding to this, Ramona, or Morgan, on purpose because they don't want to. They're fouching.
They're leading the fifth.
They're fouching. They're taking the fifth. Yeah, yeah. Dexter said escorts are commonly conflated with prostitutions. Escorts are actually legal. They bill themselves as a hot chick you take to a social event. I know. Yeah, we explained that earlier. I explained that to Morgan earlier. Explain that's the distinction. That's the technicality. But make no mistake about it. You're not just buying to walk around, okay? Not if you're paying that kind of money for them. You're paying $1,500 a night. You're not just window shopping. Well, at least I wouldn't think so. She said, now I know why you call the fan base degenerates. that's a gambling. Sexter 720 said most are prostitutes. Yeah, it's a fine line. It's a technicality. It's a wording issue. But I think Mr. Craig on that text gave himself away with the he won $150 on a scratch off or whatever it was, and he's thinking of, so he's not worried about the money. That message was absolutely hysterical. Brilliant. As brilliant.
And the small TV thing. I mean.
Yeah, and the small
TV. This is 2026.
The whole thing was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant.
To be honest with you, when I go to a friend's house and they have a small TV, I lose all respect for them. This is 2026. You can go to Sam's right now and get a 90-inch for like $700. Yeah. And then you can put it on a card or you can pay for it 6 months later.
And it turns out that bigger TV, more room for hookers.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you? I'm sorry, but if you still have a 32 inch, it's time. Let it go. It's time. What are you doing? This is 2020. We
Texters. Oh God, Texter said 1500 a night. That's like 500 a minute, Walt. Oh my God. We have lots to get to. You can get in if you want. 654-7627. Before we get to the quarterbacks, Morgan, I've done the before we get to the quarterbacks like five times already. So before we get to the quarterbacks, how about this notion? Most interesting teams. I've written this up like three times, and I only have the latest version of my analysis, so I need to think about expanding on this a little bit. But I have nine presently on my latest rendition of this. I've not talked about this at all on air. My most interesting teams. Now, how do I define interesting? Well, I don't view most of the top teams as interesting. Okay, so I don't view Oregon as interesting or Ohio State is interesting, or even Indiana is interesting. I don't view any of those teams as interesting. Those are sort of givens at this point. Interesting to me means you don't know what way they're going to tilt. There's something unique about them. Or maybe they're not known. You know, maybe people are sleeping on them. They could be better than you think. Something of that sort. So I'm going to give you a chance, Morgan. I have 9 listed so far. I'm sure once I start thinking about it a little more, I'll have some others. But given the criteria I just outlined, try and hit my board. Okay. I have 9 teams. Try and hit my board. Any of these 9 teams.
Most interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. First one that sticks out to my in my head is got to be Virginia Tech, James Franklin. New coach. A lot of people like that he brought in Grunkemeyer. I know you kind of like him.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Maybe that's one I should include. I'll buy that.
Oh, but I didn't hit.
No, so but
I missed.
Again, no, I'm not going to label that a miss because I think that's on target for what we're talking about. I think Virginia Tech is an interesting team. We don't know much about them. I actually think it's a good one. That's a good answer. We don't know much about them. You know, what way are they going to tilt? Does Franklin make a year one impact immediately? Does it take longer than that to turn it around? Do they have the weapons to help Grunkemeyer succeed? You know, do we see an immediate rebirth there? Do they get that immediate boost from Franklin? They might. I actually think that's a good one.
Well, thank you all. You know, I know you're a James Franklin guy.
Yeah.
So that was my first thought right off the top of my head. The next one, I'm trying to stay away from the big names because I think that's might be where you're going with this. How about Auburn? You know, Golish.
Yeah.
Seen him on social media a lot.
Yeah, I think that's good too. I mean, I think now that falls in the same category that the Penn State and James Franklin one does.
So I'm still missing.
No. I think it's a good one. But let's, as a next step, let's not go to Penn State. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because that would be another similar thing. And maybe Oklahoma State is too. You know, these coaches that left one school, brought most of their players with them, or a lot of their players with them, and went to another school, they all sort of fall in that same category. Franklin, Campbell,
right.
What you see at Oklahoma State, from North Texas, we're going to see at Auburn. They're all sort of in that same category. Golish bringing his quarterback, bringing his offensive line, bringing the wide receiving core, you know, all those things. So I would agree. I think all those things are good. Those are all teams that fall sort of in the same category. I would describe that category, I guess, as the newness factor.
Yeah, because I mean, to me, for most interesting, it's just how many questions I want to see answered in a season. And I kind of put LSU up there too, because I really am sort of interested. I mean, I know they're playing Clemson, and it makes me want to root against them. But then again, I do want to see how it works with Lane Kiffin. You know, can he actually win those games that he hasn't been able to win? Has this huge investment in this roster really helped out and improved them? So, but I'm trying to stay away from a name like that. So,
right. Well, again, those are I think those teams all qualify. Mm-hmm. Those 4 teams, several of which you named and several I added, I think they all qualify. They're all interesting. They're all interesting for sort of the same reason.
For me, I think you would probably pick Whittingham in Michigan. Because that to me, replacing all that after the drama and everything and the weirdness with more, you know, Bryce Young year 2, or not Young,
Underwood.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm interested to see how he does outside of, because I mean, what, for all those years he was.
People said, I got several people saying Michigan. And I get that, but how about this? QQ has hit my board, and so has texter 483, and you sure do, 483. That is well done, very well done. How did I miss all his texts yesterday? Because he had a lot of good stuff yesterday. He said, I know Walt picked Maryland and FSU. He's 100% right.
Okay.
Those are both on my board. I think Maryland and FSU are both on my board. I think, again, these new teams, these teams that have basically relocated their old teams to different cities. I mean, North Texas moved to Oklahoma State. Iowa State moved to Happy Valley. South Florida moved to Auburn. Penn State moved to Virginia Tech. I mean, when I say that, that's really not joking. These schools, almost the entire roster is like completely relocated. I mean, Campbell took, Iowa State's actually playing in Happy Valley this year in front of 110,000 people. He basically moved the entire team. By the way, he's supposed to be a good guy. Good guy. Good guy, you know, benefited from the school, made a bunch of money off the school, professed his love to the school, and then took his entire roster of players to Penn State. I've never liked Matt Campbell. I think he's a piece of crap, and I think that's even true more now. Other people have hit others on my board. You have, but you have added some good names, Morgan. I really like the Virginia Tech call. I like the Auburn call. I think both of those are really good calls. They're interesting.
You mentioned that you hate the idea of this new uniform, but what about Florida?
Yeah, I think Florida's interesting.
The summer on, I mean.
Yeah,
it's newness there for me too.
Yeah, it's another newness element. So what if we move away from the newness element for a minute, and we focus on sort of the what already exists element? So, and the texter hit one of those for me. I think Florida State is. I have no idea what they are, none. I believe they have one of America's best wide receivers in Deuce Robinson. They have a freak that nobody can deal with. I think I put him 6 on my national board. He's right there with Tony as the best receiver in the ACC. He's 6'6", he's 240 pounds. He's great after the catch. He's just, no one can handle him, nobody. They have elite skill position talent other than quarterback. Cromo, the running back, I have him 7th on my national running back list. They don't give him the ball. Why? I don't know. He's an absolute freak of nature, and I would be giving him the ball 300 times. I give him the ball till he dropped. If I'm coaching Florida State, I am handing the ball to Cromo every other play, and when I'm not handing it to him, I'm throwing it to Deuce Robinson. I'm doing just those things. I don't try and stop it. I don't care. I'm doing those things. So they're a team, Morgan, that, you know, for example, they're going to have an early season game against Alabama. They're a 15-point underdog in Tuscaloosa. I'm taking those 15 points all day long. They're going to play Alabama. They're going to have the better running back. They're going to have the better receiver. Quarterback remains to be seen. Ashton Daniels, not great, but hasn't played at ideal locations either. He's going to be surrounded with better weapons. Obviously, another really important season for Norvell. And then their schedule is actually fairly brutal, which is another reason I think they're interesting. I don't know what they are. I don't know whether Norvell can coach to the strengths of that team. I don't know whether they get that element. But, you know, they started last year beating Alabama. Everything went sideways after that. What if they beat SMU? They get SMU at home. SMU is considered one of the contenders in the ACC. What if they beat SMU? What happens then? I think if they beat SMU, Morgan, do me a favor, pull up their schedule. I think if they beat SMU, then I think their next major opponent is Virginia, and that's also at home.
Florida State.
Yeah.
I got it up.
Okay. So give me the start of that schedule.
New Mexico State, yeah. August.
Yeah, so that's an obvious win.
September, they got SMU bye week at right. Alabama. Well,
okay. So again, the SMU game early, a league game. All right. So obviously incredibly important in that regard. And at Florida State, a game that they could win. Again, SMU is going to be a slight favorite in that game. If Florida State wins that game, forget whether they win in Tuscaloosa or not. There's a revenge spot for Alabama, but there's no way Alabama's winning that game by 15 points or more. I'll tell you that right now. It's just not happening. They're just not good enough to do that. I think Florida State, if Florida State beats SMU, I think they'll play a competitive game at Alabama and might even win. But once they go beyond that, if they've beaten SMU, the next game is Virginia, right, at home?
So SMU, then they have a bye, then they have at Alabama.
Right, I said that.
Then they have Arkansas, Central Arkansas.
Right.
Then they have Virginia.
Right.
So the ACC,
next real game is Virginia, and that's at home, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay, if they beat SMU, they're beating Virginia. There'd be 2-0 in ACC play if they beat SMU. Now, if they don't beat SMU, then it could all go sideways. You know, this fan base at Florida State, they are seesawing back and forth. I mean, a lot of them want Norvell going right now. They beat SMU, that'll all quiet down. They don't beat SMU, and suddenly there's no more home field advantage. The home field advantage will be gone. The home field advantage at Florida State is going to depend solely on that SMU game.
I mean, October is tough, though. Virginia at Louisville, at Miami, then Clemson.
Right, it's brutal.
If they don't make it through October, then I think the fans won't want to see November.
The start of the year is going to determine that, okay? I mean, if they don't start well, none of that stuff matters. If they don't start well, they'll lose all those games. If they start well, then that could all change. If they, especially if they're playing to their strengths. And that's my point. I think the schedule makes you question them. I think everything we've seen makes you question them. And yet, they have some frontline, big-time star talent, which I think makes them interesting. We'll be back. We're back. We're joined by Morgan Thomas producing today. The last day of substitute teacher producers. Producer Ramona will be back on Monday. All right, we have lots to get to. By the way, all of the substitute teacher producers did an outstanding job. That was Will Ashby and Morgan Thomas this week. So thanks to all of them. All right, we have lots to get to. We're talking a little bit about most interesting teams. And, again, sort of hard to classify, not teams that, you know, that you necessarily expect greatness out of, but maybe teams that could tilt in either direction. I think Florida State is one of these teams that I don't know. I don't know based on that schedule. I think that they have some unique skill position talent, more so than most people. What they do with it, I don't know. I don't know about their offensive line. I've looked at it. I haven't tried yet to fully evaluate that offensive line, but you know, I think there's still talent there. You know, but like right from the start, Norvell is going to be under significant pressure. Honestly, Morgan, I think they have to beat SMU. I think they beat SMU, and suddenly their whole season has a different outlook. They're 1-0 in league. They've now beaten an alleged contender in the ACC. But lose that game, you lose the fan base, and from that point, you could lose all those games. I don't mean the little sisters game. I mean all the real games. Because, again, you are going to hit that stretch later that you discussed. I think their outlook going into that stretch is what's going to determine whether they have any chance to emerge from that stretch having stolen a game or two.
So based on what you're telling me,
yeah.
I'm trying to X out of any newness that I had before. All the examples.
No, those are good examples.
Yeah.
We can We can get to them. Those are all good examples.
So if you're telling me you want to take away the newness and teams that really didn't make major changes, but you also don't know who they're going to be.
Yeah.
Number one, I think you're right, Florida State. Honestly, number two for me has got to be Clemson in that scenario. The Tigers.
Ding, 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 ding. You have hit my board.
Okay, good. Yes. Number five, one out of five.
In fact, Morgan, the whole state of South Carolina is on my board.
Oh, okay. So the Gamecocks as well.
Yes.
Because if the criteria is didn't make a lot of changes, but we don't really know much about you still.
Right.
You got Florida State, you got South Carolina, you got Clemson, got Lincoln Riley.
Oh, here comes the weather bot guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe Maryland.
Maryland is on my list. Look at Morgan's.
Man, I'm on a roll now.
He's on fire.
I am on a roll. I don't know anybody else after that though.
Yeah, well,
I'd be stretching.
Well, that's a great start. So let's stay in state right now. All right.
Okay.
From a Clemson perspective, you had a team last year that was supposed to be in the national championship hunt. The whole sort of world believed it. They were filled with alleged NFL star power, veteran players. None of it worked. Nothing worked. It was all basically a disaster. And I think it started with the star power. I think there were internal issues, and I think a lot of it started with the star power. Whether there was jealousy over money or not, I don't know. But I think there were certainly issues with that football team, without question. So now we're a year removed from that, and like the star power, other than Brown and maybe the receivers, is gone. There's no star power. You know, there's been a ton of talk about positional competition, and so I think if there was a poison internally on this team last year, I think that part's gone. That's how it feels to me. Having said that, there are still massive questions. Now, again, the reason Clemson makes this list for me is I don't know what way that tilts. You know, the Vegas number on Clemson is 7.5. 7.5 is not going to satisfy this fan base.
No.
You know, that's not the right direction. That is not the direction they want to be going in. But, I mean, let's start at quarterback. I have Christopher Vezina, I believe, ranked 9th on my ACC quarterback board. We don't know what he is. He started one game. I mean, we can guess, but it's just sort of a guess based on what we saw in one football game. We're not seeing him every day, but, you know, and they're not real games anyway. So he doesn't have any practical experience having played. He did play well in the one game against SMU, but – you know, the counter argument to that would be, well, if he was good enough, why did he never replace a bad Cade Klubnik? Why, after the SMU game, didn't he get to come in the second quarter of games for a series? Why didn't he get to play in the bowl game against Penn State? You know, so these are all legitimate questions, I think. And so you don't really know. The other part is SMU had no film on him. They didn't know who he was. So, you know, there was an element of surprise that's why I desperately wanted to see him play more after that game. I wanted to see him play more with a mind's eye on this year to see how he responded when other teams had film on him. Did he still look pretty good? Did he not? I we don't know.
We get to find out now.
Right.
I mean, but to be fair, Walt, he was sitting behind the Jets starting quarterback.
Yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Whatever.
By the way, for those of you listening live on the radio, I mean, while we were interrupted with the weather, which this is why I fly in the mornings, as you know, yeah. Walt, can't fly in the afternoons in the summer.
Yeah.
I hit 3 in a row.
That's
so
right.
So I hit Clemson.
You did.
And I hit the board.
Yeah.
I went South Carolina, hit the board. Well, you kind of gave me that one. I went Southern California, hit the board.
Yep.
And did I hit the board with Maryland too?
Yes.
Okay, 4 in a row.
Yeah, all hits. All hits.
Although you did give me one, so I'll take 3.
Nope. Morgan Thomas on fire.
I am on fire.
And his other answers were all good answers. And maybe we'll get to some of those teams. But
so you're saying Florida State's, because this is like year 3 now of Norvell,
right?
So, I mean, but Dabo still has to get the even better than the Norvell treatment as far as patience.
Oh, yeah.
Way more.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, but seven wins is not enough. It's not allowed or not acceptable. But, I mean, Norvell got a five-win season, then a seven? No, two-win season?
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully Dabo doesn't have to endure that.
Well, again, those – just to be clear, okay, I don't think those two situations are analogous because, again, Mike Norvell had one good year, maybe two. Dabo Swinney's had nothing but good years.
Right.
The entirety of his career here. I think he coaches here as long as he wants, and I think he's the best leader in all of college football. He stands for the right things. He cares about the right things. You don't always get to win the national championship every year. And by the way, winning the national championship is going to be harder than ever. Just ask Georgia. They're not going in the right direction. It's going to be harder with 12 teams, and then harder than that with 16 or 24. It's going to be harder than ever before. Only one team is going to get to do that. You know, so you want to be in the arena. You want to compete. You know, that's what you're hoping to do. But there are enough question marks. I mean, you know, again, we talked about some of this yesterday. You brought up the offensive line. The running back room doesn't have much experience. You know, you're the guy who's going to be the star of that running back room rushed for 200-something yards last year, I think, 269, whatever it was. And your wide receivers have talent. One of them's coming back from a significant injury-related issue. But again, your quarterback has started one game. Your linebacker room has questions about depth. Your defensive tackle group has questions about depth. And your secondary was a disaster last year, and that's filled with new pieces. So there are a lot of potential questions. That doesn't mean they don't – I mean, maybe they all tilt the right way. They all tilted the wrong way last year. Maybe they all tilt the right way. But that's why Clemson is on my board, and they're interesting. And quite honestly, I don't do any fence sitting on this show. Everything is black and white. But I'm left with, like, no alternative but to fence sit on some of these teams. That's why they're interesting to me. Like, I don't know what Clemson's going to be this year. I think that the ceiling is 10 wins.
I mean, if there's 10 wins, okay, this is what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
Are they not a top, out of the top 20 possible playoff team? If everything goes right, though.
Right, but that's what it would take.
It would almost have to have a perfect alignment of everything.
To get to 10, okay. Yes.
Which is going to be, I mean, for anybody it's hard.
Right. And I don't think that's the most likely scenario, but – I'm not ruling it out either, especially given what happened last year. There's a strange element about this season that almost makes you feel like this is the exact inverse of what happened last year. Well, we know how last year ended, so maybe this actually is the inverse. Maybe these are a bunch of happy people who want to play for Christopher Vezina, you know, and want to play football and are motivated to play football. And maybe they're not as talented, but maybe they just care more. You know? They're not a bunch of Rudies. You know, I mean, there's talent. There's still talent here. Clemson still has talent as a football team. It may not be the talent that they had back when they were winning national titles, but there's still talent as a football team. We are going to find that out. Okay, so we have a lot to get to. You can get in if you want. 654-7627, 654-7627. We'll be back. Road Rage, you know, Morgan, I had a hysterical non-sports story that I had mentioned to you before the show today that I was going to talk about today. This hysterical non-sports story has just suffered a tragic ending. So now I don't know what I want to do with it. I think I'm still going to tell it because it probably needs to be told, but now from an entirely different perspective. What was a hysterical, impossible story just last night has now turned tragic. I'm going to get to that at some point. I just have to digest what I'm reading right now. Bengal John and then Robert in Georgia, more great callers. Bengal John. John, how are you?
Good, Walt. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday.
Same to you, John. Thank you.
About 22 days away from the big game. Yeah. Walt, I got a question.
By the way, that's
amazing.
I know
you don't read a lot into this.
It seemed like it was a million days away forever. Now it's like right around the corner.
Yeah, no doubt, right? But anyway, Walt, I've got a question. And I don't know how you perceive this, but, you know, the press conference, last press conference, Dabo Swinney said, he sounded like a whoop puppy, and he sounded like he was very, very concerned. And I know it's early, and then he talked about the first couple of days and pads and this and that and the other. But he made a comment that just kind of blows me away, Walt. Said, we got a bunch of nobodies trying to be somebody. What does that tell your team? I mean, he keeps saying we got a lot of work to do. His most confident statement was about the quarterback room, which you've mentioned is one of the biggest questions. I don't know what you read into that. I really don't.
I don't read really anything into it, John. I just think, in all honesty, I think he is trying to lay a completely different foundation than the one that was laid a year ago. I think a year ago, you had all this star power. These people were reading their press clippings about how great they were, and then none of those players showed up for the season. So I think what he's done
I think
he's torn it all apart and said, look, you guys are all nobodies until you prove something. And so I think that's – I think there's a motivational part of that. I think it's good because I think last year's team was sort of poisoned from within. That's what I really think. And I think that part of it's gone. I think these players like each other, and I think they're competing for positions. Are they as talented? Maybe not. But I think there's a desire and a hunger again, and I think that's a positive.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the case, yeah, definitely that's positive. But when I heard that, I was a little bit taken aback because usually he's a very confident man.
He's optimistic. He's normally very optimistic. I think he still is, but I think he did not like the result from last year at all in any way.
I don't think anybody could have in his position. I mean, there were so many expectations, and I get it. Toning down the expectations is probably a great thing to do.
Right. Just to be clear, I don't mean the final result in terms of wins and losses. I meant what he felt the real reason was behind what happened last year. And I think he's trying to counteract that.
Yeah, I mean, and I get that. That now makes sense. But I think you have to have some level of optimism, and then you have to tone it down, and I think you have to play this equally. But the question marks that you've mentioned all offseason with Vezina and the other young man, he seems to be really, really confident in four guys that he's got, which is totally contrary to what popular belief is around Clemson fans, including my wife and a very good friend of mine, that they think the quarterback room is the most lacking because of non-experience, not because of talent.
Right.
Dabo seems to think that that's one of the best rooms on the in the team. So I don't know. I didn't know how to read that. But thank you for giving me your insight.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Great speaking to you as always. I don't know. I don't know if I've heard Coach Sweeney talk overwhelmingly positive about the quarterback room, but he needs that room to be positive. You know, if there's an area that he needs to promote positivity, that's it. He needs positive play out of that quarterback room. Now, whether any of that is wishful thinking, I don't know. We're going to find out. They're watching every day. I mean, again, look, make no mistake about it. After game one and after every game all year, there is going to be a critical analysis by fans about the quarterback position and about whether Clemson did the right thing or the wrong thing in not going to the portal for a guy. That's going to be debated all year. And if things go sideways, trust me, the volume on that is going to get turned way, cranked way, way up. I mean, if game one winds up, as Morgan Thomas seems to think, like 34-10 LSU or
That's
something.
That's not what I said.
I think it's something like that. If that game winds up like 34-10 LSU, then then you're going to get that immediately. You are going to get people screaming that Clemson's season is lost. It's over. They didn't go get a quarterback. That's what's going to happen. Clemson doesn't need to win this game, but they need to compete, and the quarterback needs to play fairly well. That's what has to come out of this, Morgan.
By the way, if anybody would like to hire a pilot for said travels to Baton Rouge, please let me know. I think two things. Dabo saying a bunch of nobodies.
Will you get there on time?
Yeah, I'll be there. Okay. I mean, for a football game.
Okay.
A bunch of nobodies, to me, is not saying that he doesn't have talent.
No.
But he's purposely just trying to set the tone that we're not giving away jobs anymore. I do think the guys that were paid the most knew that they were not losing their job, even if they came out and laid an egg. And we saw it. They would sit here and
say...
He said
there are no starters.
Yeah, he's saying that now, but last year it was more
that's
of...
That's what I'm saying.
It was more of, well, I know you just committed that penalty, but we're going to keep you on the field.
Right.
And I think that dictated a lot about how they coached. And so they're not going to do that. Now, on the other side, I believe publicly, as you mentioned, you have to it's different about the quarterback room.
Especially this quarterback room.
He can say what he wants to say, but it's not going to change my mind that he got himself in this own situation by choosing to not spend a lot of money on a quarterback and stick with the guy he had. But, I mean, I don't even know if he had enough money to go get somebody in the – because, I mean, we're talking $5 million for one player. Maybe he chose the Dave Ramsey, you know, method of roster management with that. I wouldn't want to blow all my money on one player either.
But there were – Dave Ramsey. But there we're going to financial advisor. Yeah, we're going to have a budget. But there were a lot of other choices that wouldn't have been that expensive. And so that's going to be the question. The question, it's going to be discussed and evaluated on a game-by-game basis all year long. There's no way around it. And Dabo Swinney knows that. He's cognizant of that. He said so. He said so before. But, I mean, if things go sideways, there were a lot of quarterbacks that you could have had at a mid-level that have experience playing college football and that look pretty good. Like, for example, the Jaden Craig kid from Harvard. I should have put him on my quarterback list, by the way. He's now at TCU. He's thrown for over 6,000 yards in his college career. Obviously at Harvard, smart kid, but live arm, good athlete. There's a lot to like. He's going to go to TCU and play really well. I have no doubt about that. He's going to put up big numbers, throw for over 3,000 yards, and look good doing it. I mean, I don't know what his price tag was, but it wasn't $5 million. You know what I mean? I'm just using him as an example. And Dabo Swinney knows this. He said some weeks ago, this is not verbatim, but the gist of it was, look, either this thing is going to work or people are going to criticize the fact we didn't go into the portal for a quarterback. He's cognizant of that.
It's August 14th.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear, well, neither one has separated themselves by August 31st. You know, I don't want to hear, well, we got two guys. Maybe they would do that to throw Lane Kiffin off or Baker off. But
well, plus, look, you
I'd rather them pick a guy and let's go with that.
Yeah, but look, in the new world order, you also have to placate guys. I mean, you know, you can't, like, name your starting quarterback 3 months earlier in the spring and think that your backup's staying. You know,
that's true.
Ryan Day nurses this crap every year. You know, every year he tells you that all these guys are dead even, like right to the final day. You know, he drags it out for as long as possible, so he locks them in. And you can call it a white lie all you want, but that's the nature of football today. You don't have any way around that. So it's playing to what you have to play to. So I think that's part of that deal without question. But yeah, it's an entirely different quarterback room, and you know, we'll see how it all works out. I mean, there are certainly going to be questions asked and answered, and we'll find out. We're going to find out at LSU. I mean, again, I don't think Clemson needs to win that game, but they need to play competitively, and Vezina needs to play fairly well. We'll continue this conversation. Lines are jammed. I'm coming to you on the other side.